Bloomberg Surveillance with Michael McKee and Tom Keane. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Andrew Polk, he's from the Conference Board. He's their Asia economist, and he has been looking at all of the China numbers. And it's kind of important that we do this because everybody follows China and bases investment decisions in other countries on what China is doing. 7.5% growth should be reassuring to people, but you have to raise the question, Andrew, do we believe their numbers?
Well, that's a good question. I think even more important than that at this point is that 7.5%, if it's real, a healthy number? And by our estimation, the way you got 7.5% in the second quarter was just through an increase in infrastructure spending. Of course, everyone knows that the big challenge for the Chinese economy is to rebalance away from all this investment. So we do think that the economy was showing some increase in sequential momentum in the second quarter. So the 7.5% is not completely unsurprising, although, like you said, it did outpace expectations a bit. So we do see an improvement. The problem is you're seeing an improvement in these heavy infrastructure projects, heavy industrials, and we're hearing companies reporting that they're actually not seeing that much genuine demand, which is reflected, like you said, in the fall in the Shanghai Composite.
Tom Keene had Chinese food last night, but I guess that doesn't count.
Right? Takeout. It didn't count. I got so much to talk about on China here. What a busy morning, folks. Negative 10 on the futures. Dow futures negative 51. Bloomberg Surveillance this morning brought to you by Cohn Resnick. Accounting tax advisory during times of growth, crisis, or economic uncertainty. Your business needs a Cohn Resnick advisory group for the strategies to move forward. Find out more at CohnResnick.com, CohnResnick, CohnResnick.com. And I know the management of Cohn Resnick goes to China 6, 7, 8 times a year. When any businessman or woman goes to China now, do they go to economic stability and banking stability? Because I look at the charts of the bank stocks, and they're not that pretty, are they?
Not at all. I think it's pretty well understood that the banks in China are struggling. They obviously have made a lot of loans that aren't being repaid, and so you're having a lot of liquidity volatility at the least, because these banks are increasingly competing with each other to gain deposits. And you have, on top of that, these new internet platforms where people can deposit money through the internet through some of these money market funds, and they're actually gaining better interest rates.
But do we forget about the visibility of 7.5% GDP. Sure. Is it a real banking? I mean, does Brian Moynihan go to a major Chinese bank, and then is there another Brian Moynihan there?
Well, when you're talking about the Chinese banking system, obviously the big 4 or 5 banks, they are backstopped. If they run into problems, they don't have to be nationalized. They are nationally owned. The big problem is in some of these mid-tier shareholding banks. You're talking about China Merchants Bank, Industrial Company, Minchung Bank. Those are where some of the real bottlenecks are. And as you go down from that, that's where even more risk is in the system.
Are those banks dealing with people outside China, or are those financing whatever problems are happening within China?
More and more you're starting to see that. So we're seeing more and more exposure to those banks by banks in Hong Kong, foreign banks in Hong Kong. And that's one of the big things that we've been looking at, and others. Basically, over the past 18 months, we've seen a huge run-up in China's foreign credit. Still a very small percentage of the overall debt, about 10% of overall credit stock in China, but it's growing so quickly that it's very worrisome, because we all know that foreign credit is what often catalyzes a financial crisis.
What's driving that? Is it the Chinese looking outward, or people just reaching for yield in a emerging market?
Well, a lot of it is just people reaching for yield, and as long as they get paid back, they don't really care about the health of these banks. But there's also the fact that offshore interest rates are lower, so these Chinese banks are incentivized to go offshore. But it's also that for small banks or medium-sized banks, same for small and medium-sized enterprises in China, it's just harder to get credit.
Are we losing jobs to China? I mean, I think of Secretary Clinton as candidate Clinton talking about fair trade and all that. Where is that debate right now?
I think that debate to some extent has been on hold partially because the Chinese economy is starting to look a little bit more shaky. I don't think currently we're losing a lot of jobs to China. Most of the businesses that we talk to there are not descaling, but they're not ramping up their investment as much as they have in the past, mm-hmm. and they're starting to look at other markets. You're talking about Indonesia, to some extent for the lower-end manufacturing, Bangladesh, Vietnam, and of course Mexico as well. So if we're losing jobs, it's probably no longer to China, but maybe some of those other emerging markets.
We do have the headlines that you've been talking about all morning, Tom, coming out now. Microsoft cutting up to 18,000, more than we expected, jobs over the next year, taking a pre-tax charge of $1.1 to $1.6 billion. Those headlines just crossing now on the Bloomberg. We will keep you up to date on the latest as it continues to cross.
And within that, in the announcement of Microsoft, with, I guess, synergies is the painful word. How does Alibaba fit into this? I mean, you're not a securities guy on Alibaba. You're not looking at the IPO. You're an economist with a conference board. Within the mesh of this Chinese community, mm-hmm. where does Alibaba fit in? Are they a Microsoft of China?
It's hard to exactly make the comparison. If there is a Microsoft of China, it's certainly Alibaba. The difference is, you know, as any company, as innovative or creative as it is, starts to reach scale in China, it has to somehow start playing ball with the government. So if you have a company as big as Alibaba, you know that in China, their incentives are not always profit maximization. So when you look at an IPO for a company like that, how do you value a company that's really not trying, in its essence, to maximize value for its shareholders?
Is the market correlated to economies into your world?
Yes and no. I mean, you know, you see, China is still, we think that growth is probably systematically overestimated by a couple percentage points. So we think China's really growing about 5.5%, but that's still a pretty high growth economy. But you look at the Shanghai Composite, it's obviously one of the worst, if not the worst, performing indexes over the past year and mm-hmm. a half in Asia or in the world. So those aren't exactly correlated.
Andrew Polk with us with a conference board, visiting from China.
Bloomberg Surveillance, weekday mornings at 7 Eastern. In New York on Bloomberg 1130. In Boston on 1200 AM and 94.5 FM HD2. Or on Sirius XM Satellite Radio Channel 119. Copyright 2014, Bloomberg LP.